You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bosser, the producer for the program, Harriet Williamson. Our technical director this afternoon, Jason Croft. Today's guest is Mark Smirnoff. He's the editor and publisher of Oxford American Magazine. It bills itself as the Southern magazine of good writing, combining a blend of reporting, fiction, and criticism. It first surfaced in 1992 in Oxford, Mississippi, with the backing of novelist John Grisham after some financial troubles that forced the magazine to shut down three times in 9 years. It's always bounced back. The Oxford American moved from Oxford to Little Rock, but now makes its offices in Conway, Arkansas, on the campus of the University of Central Arkansas. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bosser.
Good to talk to you. Might talk a little bit about your history in a little bit, but the reason we've got you on the phone today, every year you release a music issue, and it's accompanied by a CD. We just heard a moment ago a few seconds of Going Back to New Orleans by Joe Liggins and his Honey Drippers. I'd like to play a few tracks off this CD and find out how you come about organizing all these songs. I mean, how many things do you have to choose from? There are 24 tracks in this CD. Every year you come up with a lot of stuff you always have over 20-plus tracks on the CD, and there's no consistent style to any of them, several different genres, stuff from several generations. How big a pool do you have to pick these songs?
Well, I think we have basically all of American music to choose from. It's still sort of not recognized that all the important music genres, jazz, rock and roll, R&B, blues, country, came from the South. And to me, that's one of the shining contributions of this region. You know, people talk about Southern literature, but, you know, for me, equally as important is the great music that's come from this region. So, you know, it all started here, quite frankly. And, you know, people gobbled it up, whether they were living in New York, California, or Timbuktu. You know, Southern music is just pervasive.
Now, are these suggested by contributors, or where do you get some of the ideas to include?
Well, there's two things about our annual music issue philosophy. Number one is we want to put out a great party tape, a great mixtape. The kind of one may not be necessarily a big band fan, for example, but if it's a great song in the right mix, you'll listen to it. So we just want to mix it all up. The other aim is, all things being equal, we would rather celebrate and discuss a neglected artist versus a well-known one. Or if we dabble with the well-known ones, we'd rather have a fresh take on them or an obscure track of theirs. And so we get these ideas. Man, we're looking all year round. We look for hints everywhere. We'll listen to music writers. Musicians are a great source, because those guys and gals are passionate about the subject like no one else. And, you know, one strange record will lead to another strange record. I mean, it's a maze out there, Jeff. It's crazy. We love it, but, you know, it's just, there's so many great neglected Southern musicians.
Well, let's get right to it. Let's listen to something, and for the convenience of our board operator, I think we'll go with in the order the tracks appear on the CD, and one that I have a list of stuff that I thought we needed to include. Let's listen to Tex Williams here. Smoke,
oh,
smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette.
Yeah, that's great.
Now, I'm a feller with a heart of gold, with the ways of a gentleman, I've been told, the kind of a feller that wouldn't even harm a flea. But if me and a certain character met, the guy that invented the cigarette, I'd murder that son of a gun in the first degree. Now, it ain't cause that I don't smoke myself, and I don't reckon they hinder your health. I've smoked them all my life, and I ain't dead yet. But nicotine slaves are all the same at a petting party or a poker game. Everything's gotta stop while they have that cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death.
All right. Well, there's a sample of one of the songs off the Oxford American Southern Music CD. Just came out last month. Tex Williams, as I read a little bit about him, was actually a native of Illinois, Ramsey, Illinois, down near, not far from St. Louis. First time I heard this song, I thought how sarcastically this song could help tobacco lobbyists. But then I read it was included in the movie Thank You for Smoking. How'd you come across this one, Mark?
Well, actually, one of my co-workers here found it. And I heard of Tex Williams, but I'd never heard that track. And to me, man, that song just takes the top off of my head. I dare somebody who thinks he or she doesn't like country music to say the same thing after listening to that track. I mean, that band is so hot, and the lyrics are funny, and, you know, Tex, you hear Tex, and you'll never forget his voice. You hear him once, and he sticks with you. So, I mean, and, you know, as I say, I mean, to me, I don't see why that song shouldn't be on a CD collection that's aiming to be a great party tape. You know, we're not trying to be academic, because, I mean, I just hate approaching music in that way. To me, it has to be emotional and visceral and soulful. And, you know, thank God Southern music offers all of that almost all the time.
Here's an artist that I heard this and I thought, well, this has to come from the late 60s, early 70s. Track 8, Sharon Jones, How Long Do I Have to Wait for You? And then I found out it came out like last year. Let's give this one a listen off the Oxford American Southern Music CD. This artist, Sharon Jones, the article about her, as the magazine itself has big long articles about every artist, it's entitled Groovy with a High Chance of Funk. Sharon Jones, has she been kind of obscured and not really out in the mainstream?
Yes, and she's originally from North Carolina, and she's an African-American singer, and I think her band is a bunch of young white kids. But, you know, she single-handedly proves that soul music is ageless. I mean, that's one thing that we don't hear enough of, you know, contemporary artists playing soul music, because it has aged so well. You can't say that for everything. And every time I hear somebody playing soul music these days, it still, you know, if they're a good artist, it still sounds good. The other thing that just struck me is, you know, you just played an old country swing artist, Tex Williams, and then you just played after that a contemporary soul artist, and, you know, they sound great next to each other. And the great evil in approaching music, to me, is to approach it by genre. I mean, I think music is either soulful or it's not. And if it's soulful, they go well together, no matter what genre a song happens to be. But just, you know, one thing we just love is mixing it up and battling against the evil of genres.
Here's another one that this is traditionally a jazz musician, as I came to find out, Bob DeRoen. In fact, I heard an interview you did on another an NPR program where you were championing him, and I didn't know anything about him other than this song, which I remember hearing as a kid on Schoolhouse Rock, Three is a Magic Number. Which is track 10. We'll go ahead and listen to that off the Oxford American Music CD.
Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity, you get three as a magic number. The past and the present and the future, faith and hope and charity, the heart and the brain and the body give you three as a magic number. It takes three legs to make a tripod or to make a table stand. It takes three wheels to make a vehicle called a tricycle. Every triangle has three corners. Every triangle has three sides. No more, no less. You don't have to guess. When it's three, you can see it's a magic number.
And other people may recognize that song from Schoolhouse Rock in the early 70s. Talk about why you're such a big Bob Dureau fan, Mark.
Well, I am convinced that he is the great neglected American musical artist. He is, in addition to that song, which is a masterpiece, Bob is mainly just, you know, a hardcore jazz man. But luckily, he brings this distinctive wit to everything he does, and nobody sounds like him. I mean, the closest I can think to describe him, the closest comparison is maybe a combination of Mose Allison and Bob Dylan. He and Dylan certainly have some cosmic connection going on, but you know, he's just he's an American original, and he's a little hard to, you know, his jazz stuff can be hard to almost get. I mean, he comes at you from left field, and he's a difficult voice at times. But once you let him kind of just warm over you, you become addicted, and it's there's nobody like Bob Dureau, and you can even hear it in that song. Even though it's a pop song, you can hear his voice being a little bit strange, a little bit distinctive, kind of almost, you know, out of control in spots. But man, I could go on about that. You know, he's the only singer that Miles Davis ever put on an album of his. So, you know, this skinny white boy from Arkansas, Bob Dureau, you know, just hit people deep. Although he's, you know, people who know him are crazy about him, but not enough people know about him.
Well, as I figured, we wouldn't get to all the tracks I wanted to play. Let's skip ahead near the end here, and we've been talking about artists that have not been recognized. Let's go to track 22, Sam Cooke, a posthumous release, him recording the Tennessee Waltz.
Well, I was dancing with my baby to that tune. She walks when an old friend I happen to see. Oh yeah, I introduced him.
Sam Cooke is also on the cover of the Oxford American Music CD, a magazine that actually came out last month. And this is not a recording that I've heard before.
Yeah, it's not one of the ones they play on the radio. And you know, that's the tricky thing about those commercial radio stations, is that they just play the same stuff over and over again and thereby ignore perfectly serviceable gems in even a superstar's career like Sam Cooke's. So, you know, the one lesson I've learned about doing this music issue is that there are rewards to digging deep into all these different areas of music, all these different genres. I mean, it's amazing how many great artists have been forgotten. And partially I would blame commercial radio for that, because they just play the same doggone songs over and over again.
Can we talk quickly, in about 30 seconds, tell me what's going on with your magazine? You're now a nonprofit and based in Conway, Arkansas, after some financial troubles.
Yes, sir. I think you mentioned, I think we've died three times and came back to life three times, but finally we found the perfect home. It's so natural for us to be on a university campus, and we're working on a Southern movie issue with our first ever DVD and all sorts of weird and strange and wonderful ideas. We just had a concert with Bob Dureau, so I'm still kind of palpitating over that. The guy's 84 and he still is just the ultimate showman and hypnotizer.
Well, Mark, we have to wrap it up. I wish we had more time to talk about this stuff, but the Oxford American Music Issue now available on newsstands. Check out the magazine at oxfordamericanmag.com. Thanks so much, Mark Smirnoff, for joining us.
Thank you, Mr. Jeff.